The Great Molasses Flood, Boston's Sticky Deadly Disaster. The air in Boston's North End on January 15, 1919, was unseasonably warm for January. A strange, sweet scent hung heavy, a prelude to a disaster that would engulf the neighborhood in a wave of sticky, brown death. It was an ordinary Tuesday, and the Purity Distilling Company's colossal molasses tank, an imposing 50-foot-tall cylinder holding an astonishing 2.3 million gallons, stood sentinel over Commercial Street. This wasn't just any molasses, it was destined to become industrial alcohol, a key ingredient in munitions for the ongoing World War I. The tank, a behemoth of riveted steel, was a local landmark, a testament to industrial might. But it was also a ticking time bomb. For months, residents had complained of groaning sounds emanating from the tank and a suspicious reddish-brown ooze that seeped from its seams, staining the nearby buildings and sidewalks. The Purity Distilling Company, however, seemed unfazed. They had even painted the tank brown to camouflage the leaks, a cosmetic fix for a structural catastrophe waiting to happen. The company's owner, United States Industrial Alcohol, USIA, had a history of cutting corners, and this colossal tank was no exception. It was hastily constructed, poorly inspected, and likely overfilled, a recipe for disaster. Then, at precisely 12:30 p.m., the unthinkable happened. With a deafening roar that local residents would later describe as a machine gun barrage or a thunderclap, the massive tank ruptured. The sound was followed by a terrifying wave of molasses, estimated to be 25 feet high, moving at a speed of 35 miles per hour. It wasn't just a flood, it was a tsunami of viscous, sticky doom. Buildings were ripped from their foundations, horses were trapped and drowned, and people were swept off their feet, pulled under by the suffocating tide. The molasses, thick and heavy, acted like quicksand, trapping its victims. Those not killed instantly by the force of the wave were drowned or suffocated, their bodies encased in the hardening syrup. The sheer weight and force of the molasses crushed structures, twisted metal, and tore through the neighborhood like an unstoppable force. Rescue efforts were immediate but tragically hampered by the nature of the disaster. Rescuers waded through waist-deep molasses, struggling to free the trapped victims. The sticky substance made every movement agonizingly slow. It coated everything, making it difficult to breathe, to see, and to move. Horses, their legs caught in the thick goo, whinnied in terror before succumbing. The sweet scent of molasses turned into a macabre perfume, masking the cries of the dying. By the time the chaos subsided, 21 people were dead and 150 were injured. The North End was a scene of utter devastation, coated in a sticky, brown layer of molasses. The cleanup effort would take weeks, with fire departments using saltwater hoses to wash away the viscous disaster. The smell of molasses lingered in the air for months, a grim reminder of the tragedy. The aftermath saw a massive legal battle. Survivors and the families of the deceased sued USIA, arguing that the company's negligence was directly responsible for the catastrophe. The company initially tried to blame anarchists, suggesting they had bombed the tank. However, evidence presented during the trial pointed to structural failures and poor construction as the true culprits. After years of legal wrangling, the court found USIA liable, ordering them to pay $600,000 in damages, equivalent to over $9 million today. The Great Molasses Flood became a landmark case, highlighting the dangers of unchecked industrial expansion and the importance of corporate accountability. The event served as a stark warning. It exposed the hazardous conditions in many industrial workplaces and led to stricter building codes and safety regulations. It was a brutal lesson learned, etched in sticky, brown tragedy, reminding Boston and the nation that progress, unchecked by caution, can carry a deadly price. Even today, some Bostonians claim that on warm January days, the sweet scent of molasses can still be faintly detected in the North End, a ghostly echo of a day when a town was drowned in sweetness.